So I think Madtown Mark gets the prize for best response to the NRA laying off some of their producers and their production people. He said he's going to send them their thoughts and prayers. I hate to see anybody lose their job, but the folks at the Propaganda Network there, no sympathy. Sorry, it just is what it is. Let's move on. You have to give the Trump Crime Syndicate a little bit of credit. They're very, very creative. They're muddying the waters at really what is an alarming rate, and they're sticking by their Don. The latest one, though, the latest funny, if you will, is from birther conspiracy kook Jerome Corsi, who evidently claims that, Julian Assange didn't tell him that WikiLeaks had all of Podesta's emails and all the emails, that it wasn't that, it was God. God told him. He had an intervention. And now we find out today, Rudy Giuliani, Trump's mouthpiece, he confirmed that Corsi and Trump have something called a joint defense agreement. I guess he's one of more than 30 such folks with these kind of agreements. Kind of makes you think that this is like one massive conspiracy. And I asked the question, where are the RICO charges? Seize Trump Towers. Just my thought. Anyway, here are some thoughts on this and where the Mueller probe may be taking us. I've asked our good friend Andrea Chalupa to come talk with us. Andrea, thanks for taking time for us.
Of course. How you doing, Rick?
I'm good. So what do you make of these joint defense agreements? I mean, it's like a NATO of criminals.
Yeah. I guess it's a fancy word for obstruction of justice.
Yeah, but to me, it goes even farther than that. I mean, it tells me that they had the forethought to think this stuff through before anything came out of this. At least that's my thought on it.
Well, of course. I mean, these guys have made careers and reputations of being con artists, so I don't think any of this is surprising. And it's very hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And as I wrote back in, it was March 2017 on Twitter, I said, Manafort is so dirty that he's going to go shooting his way out. He's just too dirty to flip.
No, we agreed on that. And you said that here on this program. That's one of the questions I was going to ask you. Are you surprised that we now know he was just jerking their chain the whole time?
No, because that's all he knows. That is his nature. And, you know, one thing that helps me get through life is this, is the fact that if someone's a jerk to you, they're a jerk to everybody. There's nothing special about you. That's just the person's character.
Right.
Of course, we all have our bad days. We all have our moments of road rage. But, you know, with guys like Manafort, people like Manafort, just it's a matter of character. It goes to the rotten core of who he is. And I hope that Mueller saw that coming. What's really interesting to me in all this is when he was FBI director, he was very active, of course, in trying to negotiate with the Russian mafia, bringing guys like Deripaska in and trying to flip them, trying to get as much as they can. FBI, like Bruce Moore, trying to get as much as they can out of Deripaska and other incredibly wealthy money laundering types connected to the Kremlin. And what resulted out of that, out of years of trying, was the head of the Russian mafia, Simone Mogilevich, was taken off of the FBI's 10 most wanted list after Mueller's FBI director said that he was going to stay on there until he was caught. But that the opposite happened. He was taken off, and he's still at large. And in fact, his side helped his mafia network, of course, the Kremlin and oligarchs connected to the Kremlin, like Deripaska, helped orchestrate one of the greatest coups ever, which was the corruption coalition that got Donald Trump elected. So you have to wonder whether Mueller learned from the mistakes he made. Clearly, there were mistakes made. If the guy that comes after you, James Comey, then takes the head of the Russian mafia off the most wanted list, so obviously mistakes were made. You can't negotiate with the Russian mafia, and you can't negotiate with the mafia. Period. And so, I wonder: is this Trump investigation? Is this Mueller's chance to redeem himself and finally catch his white whale and taking down an even bigger fish than Trump, which would be the key players in the Russian mafia itself, who are essentially using Trump as their puppet.
That's an interesting thought on that. My focus is getting the orange whale out of the White House, but you're talking well beyond that.
Yeah, and so the question is, did Mueller honestly, in good faith, think he could negotiate with a guy like Paul Manafort, given his track record? Once somebody makes so much money off of furthering the interests of people who benefit off of systematic rape and as he did with some of his clients, his despot clients, not just in Ukraine, but in parts of Africa. Once you sell your soul, once you go down to that level, it's you've bottomed out, and when you do it for decades, it's you're gone. There's no coming back from that. And Manafort showed such resistance and communicated that very clearly, given how tough he was to crack, to the point where they had to do a no-knock warrant and show up early at his house and surprise him to finally break through. And really show that they're serious. So, of course, he was witness tampering and all sorts of things. So Manafort was showing complete defiance throughout. So obviously, given his experience as FBI director, with the complications he must have had, clearly, with the Russian mafia and trying to get somewhere with them, Mueller had to have safeguards, had to be playing chess, had to have planted traps, had to have. I hope that he carried out some of his own personal fantasies of how to win this time,
right,
and really take these guys out.
No, because I think any thoughtful person saw Manafort's, the agreement, to cooperate as just kind of BS. I mean, because I'm looking at it going, there's just no way this guy is going to flip on Trump. And we find out today that Trump is saying that a pardon's not off the table, which you go, was it ever?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, Trump's all about, if you serve my interests, if you scratch my back, if you praise me, if you love me, if you take care of me, I will help you. He's loyal only to a certain point to those who are extremely loyal and praise him, which is, of course, the vanity of typically found in dictators.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely in an interesting time, especially today when the Senate didn't move forward on a Mueller protection bill, because I don't even know why this is so difficult to come up with. We want to know what happened. I think as a country we need to know. I can't imagine why the entire Republican Party, unless they're neck deep in this, would want to not have all of this stuff come out, especially if what they're saying is true, that they'll all be vindicated.
Right, and there's so many moving targets in this, and there's just so many horror stories that are coming out that obviously we get exhausted, and media gets exhausted, the public gets exhausted. Imagine how law enforcement being overtaxed and underpaid must feel. But one of the biggest targets, of course, the targets in the sense of complicit collaborators in all of this is, of course, Mitch McConnell. And you have to wonder, if we only could just take all of our resources and just zero in on him for a good year and just see what we can come up with and just sort of dig into him, because the way he behaves, he does display this self-destructive in terms of America's values and how America's, how America looks to the world, because we're a reality show of terror right now, and audiences around the world are following what's going on, and they know the main key players. And so Mitch McConnell doing something so against America's own interests by refusing to pass refusing to protect Mueller, it just simply makes no sense. It's like, why wouldn't you want to protect an investigation? We have to get down to the bottom of this. It's a matter of our own sovereignty. And we have to secure our elections. All of, so many matters are at play here for America's security.
Yeah.
And the fact that he just keeps going against it, it's like his Banana Republic behavior is on par with Devin Nunes, and it's consistent. And you have to wonder what skin he has in this game.
That's a good point. I understand why Trump's trying to muddy the waters. I understand why you would retweet an image of, you know, Rod Rosenstein and a bunch of Democrats behind bars. I kind of get that. I understand that you want to muddy this investigation and discredit it any way you can because, hey, the kids, you may have to go visit the kids in prison as well. Because, you know, Don Jr.'s, you know, talking about possibly being indicted. Even the idiot one could potentially be indicted just for being around. And Ivanka, I mean, you know, there's been, I think you said that Ivanka should be investigated for her role in the transition team.
Oh, without question, without question. I mean, it's clear that Ivanka is the favorite child. I mean, Ivanka and her father make that clear in so many ways. I mean, Trump's talked about cheating her and the way he praises her.
Yeah, that's still, no matter how many times I hear that, if she weren't his daughter, he'd be dating her. That just creeps me out on so many levels.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, she's in the White House working alongside her father, and she's, as I always say, Ivanka Trump is her father wrapped up in a prettier package. She's a chronic liar. Even when she's at fault, even when she's of course morally wrong, she just hits back harder. That's how she was trained. She very much looks up to her father. I believe there's some story out there when her parents were getting divorced, she was crying over whether she could keep the Trump name or not. That was very important to her, that personal Trump brand, that gold, that kleptocrat gold, that the nouveau riche power. She needed to hold on to that. And so she's certainly has aspirations of her own. And so there's two concerns I have about Ivanka. The first one is, you know, I wonder if there, because the FBI is under so much pressure, extreme pressure that our country has never experienced in terms of these purges, these political purges that have been going on, not of course since Nixon, but this is a much tenser time because, at least in the case of Nixon, the Republicans did the right thing for the sake of our country. That's not happening here. And so the FBI, the men and women of the FBI are under so much stress, and you have people like Lisa Page, who are experts in issues regarding fighting the Russian mafia specifically, being repeatedly humiliated by Republicans and the president and being targeted. That's a massive amount of stress for any individual, whether they're in law enforcement or not, because we just assume these people are tough as nails. That's a lot to live under. And Peter Strzok, of course, and others, and Bruce Orr was a target himself for a while, and I'm sure still is and will come up and flare up whenever the president, you know, feels like it. But what we have to remember is if they're under so much pressure like that, are they staying away from the favorite child, Ivanka, just to protect themselves? Are they too afraid to get too close to her, regardless of how, you know, how guilty she may be, no matter how strong the case could be? And does the same go for Jared? Because, of course, Ivanka wants to protect her husband. She wants to protect her legacy.
Yeah.
And there's all... Mm-hmm.
No, and, you know, you brought up Jared, which I was going to get to, because, you know, you look at all of his dealings with the Saudis, and I think, you know, the whole reason that Trump hasn't done anything with the Saudi situation is because of Jared and the amount of business dealings that they've got there and the coffers that are being filled.
Yeah, and Jared just got a big award from Mexico, which is odd. I wonder if that was brokered to try to get, you know, do a big PR makeover for Jared right now because he's, you know, his sleepover buddy, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, butchered a leading journalist. A major voice of human rights for Saudi Arabia. And so, and then Nikki Haley came out when her surprise resignation and praised Ivanka and Jared. So you have to kind of wonder, you know, what charm offensive Ivanka and Jared are aggressively working towards to try to separate themselves from the mess of the White House so they can pick up their political career later and have, you know, have greater aspirations and come back to the White House, either Ivanka or Jared running. You can't rule either out because these people are just absolutely shameless and they want power and self-enrichment above all else.
Could you really see us voting for one of them?
Absolutely not, but it's not going to stop the GOP from running them. I mean, they're limited in terms of the minorities they have going for them. Of course, they have a lot of white women. And it was a big shock when you saw a lot of these white suburban women helping with the blue wave that we desperately needed. And so that the white suburban, so women of all colors in the suburban areas joining together in coalition, that is a very unstoppable coalition that we have to have in place again in the next election in 2020. But you have to wonder whether they're going to wheel Ivanka out like a show pony to try to be like, oh, you know, I'm telling you, you're seeing a bit of PR coming out about these guys all the time, and you'll see some sort of like, oh, what did Jared and Ivanka, you know, think about all this sort of pieces coming out that are a bit soft on them. And so you have to expect those guys to engineer a comeback at all costs, because they're young, they're incredibly rich, and they do have a lot of influence in certain sectors, of course. And so they're going to be sticking around. They're going to be clinging on. And so we have to fight them at every turn, wherever they show up. But I do want to say, so a couple things about my concern with Ivanka specifically is, number one is law enforcement so pressured by this dangerous president that they're leaving her alone?
No.
The second one is just plain old misogyny, because, you know, Hillary Clinton is the kind of woman that some certain men, like less enlightened men, just simply don't like and feel threatened by. And so, you know, there is misogyny everywhere, and in law enforcement as well. So you have to wonder if Ivanka simply gets a pass because of her darling, dolled up Barbie doll, you know, very deliberate, non-threatening feminine persona that she puts on. And I'm not knocking feminine women, because I love my femininity, and I love enjoying it and celebrating it, but she really wears that, like, she really dumbs herself down with her little, like, weird voice and just, you know, her certain behavior. So that's the kind of woman that can, like, sort of talk her way out of a speeding ticket and, like, running a couple red lights. And you have to wonder whether she's just being left alone for misogynistic reasons as well.
Yeah, it's a good question. So last question I've got for you, because, you know, I'm hoping that Mueller is looking into this. I have a lot of hope. Not a lot of faith. I have a lot of hope in the Mueller investigation. You know, are we seeing anything coming out? Are we seeing anything leading us in those directions?
Gosh, I mean, you have all those sealed indictments, and so hopefully it'll be a Mueller Christmas. certainly, Roger Stone's been a bit quiet lately. Of course, he seems to be the big loudmouth now, doing all the talking. Don Jr. seems a bit quiet, so hopefully these guys are just spending as much time as they can with their loved ones, because they know it's coming. I do hope more, obviously we all hope more go down, but I think first and foremost, we do have to, all of us need to make a lot of noise for the long list of reasons why Ivanka should be one of them. And I just want to remind people again, before I go, is that she was leading the transition team. She worked closely with Gates and Manafort. She insisted that Michael Flynn be in the White House. Michael Flynn said the transition team directed him to contact the Russians. So Ivanka was all wrapped up in that. And as somebody that really wants power at all costs and self-enrichment at all costs, she is at her father's side. So whatever he's guilty of, whatever the closest around him are guilty of, she knows about it. She's in that. She's in the thick of it. And we can't let her get overlooked. And whatever indictments are coming, one has to be for Ivanka, certainly for Jared, given that he was in that quid pro quo Trump Tower meeting in June 2016. Don Jr.'s low-hanging fruit. Legal experts have lists of the reasons why he's in trouble. Same with Roger Stone. These guys are as dirty as they come, and we have to take these people seriously, and in terms of how corrupt they are, and not allow characters like this, again, to run major campaigns, and not be, you know, scrutinized in such detail that we can stop them from winning elections in the future.
Right there with you. Andrea, I appreciate you taking some time. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Rick. Glad to be back.
Always great to talk to our good friend, Andrea Chalupa. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.